Sure, so I don't think I need a microphone. I probably, let's stand up here so I can see everyone. My name is Brooke Easton, and I'm the East Facilitator at Northeast Technology Center in Claremore. We are a new campus at the Technology Center for NTC. So this is our first year of having a building, and all of the programs on our campus are new. And so what I'm here to talk to you about today is the East program. And this is the, if some of you may have heard about East, I'm curious, anyone heard of East before? Some people, okay, good. We have a room of, I'm gonna educate you today. So East is not the direction, okay? What East stands for is Environmental and Spatial Technology, and that's what the program at NTC is. A background history, a little bit about East. It started in Arkansas about 13 years ago, and the concept has grown into 8 states and 226 schools. NTC is the second program in Oklahoma to have East. Salisaw in Indian Capital Technology Center was the first technology center to have the East program. And so a little bit about technology centers, we offer programs to juniors and seniors in high schools and adults. So my students in the East program range from 16 years old, 17 years old, all the way up into the 40s. So that's where East came from, is in Arkansas. It's in Arkansas all the way through elementary school, all the way up into community colleges. So this education philosophy has really blossomed in Arkansas. And so we are trying to educate Oklahoma about what this program is all about. So a little bit of history about East. This is what I'm going to talk to you about, is the vision of what East is. These are the core foundations of what the East classroom is. So when you walk into this classroom, it may look a little bit different from a traditional classroom setting. The first East standard is that they believe students should, can, and will take responsibility for their own learning when given the opportunity. I'm called a facilitator. I am not an instructor. I'm not a teacher. I'm a facilitator to help these students learn through their own motivation. Second one is, students should be actively engaged in solving problems in their communities. East has a huge community focus. So they want the students that come into the East classroom to look around their community and say, how can we use the resources that we have in the East classroom to change our community? And so East principles are, we are all project-based. There is no lectures in this classroom. I help them find the resources to learn the software, whether they need to learn web design, video production, the GIS software. We have video tutorials, we have resource libraries, we have workshops that we go to Arkansas through the East program with. And so they go and actively find out those problems themselves. Third bullet point is, students should be given access to relevant and challenging resources and tools and using to solve these identifiable problems. This is where the East classroom comes in, that we have several different types of technology in the classroom. So we allow them to solve these problems, but we give them the resources to solve that. We have all of the ESRI software. We were lucky enough, the East program in Arkansas, next year we will have the full capacity of the ESRI software. So we have anything that you probably have available to you, we have available in the East lab. So the students actually get to use that software. We have video production software. We have web design software. We have 3D animation software. We have virtual reality software. If you're familiar with, if you go to a home and you see a virtual tour of a home, we have that capacity of creating virtual tours. We are getting what's called an augmented virtual reality next year. We'll have that software where they can work on that. We have 3D animation software. So we have lots of different technology, any of the Adobe suites that they need to work on, any type of graphic design. So we offer all of this technology and allow them to go out and solve these problems in their community. The final one is, students should be allowed or indeed required to collaborate with each other and with professionals in their communities as they grow and develop their capacity to be a positive agent of change. So what happens is that we have this unique opportunity that we don't keep them in the classroom. We say, okay, go out and work with your community peoples to solve these problems. Let them be your mentors. We want to bridge that gap of getting them ready for the workplace and so that they are ready to go on and work with the community once they leave high school or leave the EASE program. So that's their vision. Here are some of the EASE standards. And this is how they have built the EASE educational philosophy around. That they should take responsibility for self-directed learning. So the student is the learner, not necessarily the teacher engaging them in the learning. It's the student taking that responsibility. They ethically apply resources and problem-solving strategies to the real-world problems. So it's not just working out of a book. They're taking the GIS software and they're going out and remapping a state park is one of the state park trails that we're doing. So it's not necessarily staying in the classroom. They actually get out and physically go and solve problems. Collaborate as a productive team member. EASE is developed as, I run my classroom like an office. I come in here and I tell my students, you are my employees. And we have clients from the community, and that is how you're going to work in this classroom. You're going to function as a team, and you're going to solve problems as a team, and you're going to work with the community doing that process. They research and evaluate resources to determine the validity and relevance. So they have to go and figure this out. If there is a problem that arises and they're going through this, they have to go and research the problem. Communicate with a variety of audiences using multiple modes. So when we function as an office, they have to have weekly meetings with their clients. They have to communicate to their clients if they're meeting deadlines. They have to communicate with their team members and communicate with me too. If we need to go out and GPS map, I need to know in advance because I have to let my boss know and arrange the proper transportation. So they learn, it's a lot of project development skills that they're learning. They're learning how does the whole process of a project evolve. So they have to set up from start to finish. Develop solutions to community-based problems using emerging technologies with the content of service learning projects. So like I said, we go out and we try to find projects in the community that they can learn by. They worked on a community garden project this year where we're starting to, we don't have a community garden in Claremore, so we had one community lady who wanted to start this garden, and the students took it upon themselves that they wanted to help this woman. So they have, in this one project, they have created press release items for her. They have gone out and given presentations to the community. They have created a 3D Google SketchUp model of the complete project. They have created a local a video. They have created a video that will be played at the local movie theater. So that one project has multiple facets to it, and that's what EASE wants them to try to get to do, is to be multi-talented, multi-skilled for the 21st century. Finally, demonstrate confidence in their own abilities to meet the challenges of the 21st century. So I'm trying to develop skills that they can go into whatever career they want to. This could be a program that you could be an engineer, you can be an accountant, you could be an electrical technician, you could be a welder, and all of these skills that EASE is trying to develop in the students will be relevant for their future career. So, the evolution of learning. What we do in the EASE classroom is pretty simple. How we do it is not. It's a little bit different from the traditional education background. We use student interest to make them active participants in their learning. So the students get to choose what projects they work on. I don't go in and say, okay, you're going to work on designing a logo today. The students get to collaborate and choose who they work with and choose the projects that they work on. What's necessary is to redefine the traditional classroom. We are shifting from learning concepts of application of concepts and shifting from instruction to managing student self-instruction. So we're allowing them to apply all this technology. Not only are they learning the technology, but they're applying it into projects that are directly affecting the community. So the student's role is they're moving from passive recipient of the information to actively responsible for skills and content and working and applying with others. So that is the role of the student. Any questions as I go through? I wanted this to be a little bit informal. If you have any questions or anything about what I'm saying, please speak up. Okay. Now, GIS projects. I know a lot of you are in the GIS field, and that is one software that we do have in the GIS program. And what I found is that GIS software has not been in the educational system in high schools. And so I'm here to kind of let you know some of the project that we've been working on, but also offer if you can give me advice or suggestions on how should I proceed on teaching the GIS software to the high school students. My background has been in web, video, and all of the graphic media. And when I stepped into this position of East Facilitator, the GIS software was something new that I have got to learn over the course of this year. So I'm here today to let you guys know how can we help you and how can you help us. You've seen what the East philosophy is on basically creating mentors with high school students to the community. And hopefully you can help us bridge that and allowing my students to work on some more GIS projects. But what we've done so far is one of the ones that the students are working on, they are mapping the trails for Okmulgee State Park. NTC is a brand new campus, and we've had a lot of people come and use our campus for meetings. And one of the meetings, the Oklahoma State Park and Rex have been using our meetings. So I stepped in there one day and told them what my program was and asked if they needed any help. And so a couple of park rangers said, yes, I could use your help. So my students have been going down to Okmulgee State Park, and we are mapping the trails out for them. We are going back in a week or two to go back and do that. We're also looking at creating a virtual tour of the trails as well. So they have gone and taken the GPS units out and mapped the trails and then putting it in the GIS software, and they're creating a map for the state park to use. The other project that we worked on this year was the Rogers County Mapping Project, and Brett Wilson was so kindly to serve on my advisory committee when I was starting up the East Project, and he said, well, I may have some projects for your students to do. So right off the bat, start of school, we were just trying to get the East Lab going and figure out what all we were doing in here, and I had three students that went in and helped Rogers County with their mapping project. They went out and remapped the whole county, and they were able to gain experience. They had not used the software before. So they were sent to Brett with being very cold, and so he helped train them a little bit. And in that process, David Bronowski picked up the software tremendously quickly. And so after 3 or 4 weeks, Brett, is that right?
A little over a month.
Brett came back and he said, I really think we have a position here for David. He's really shown an aptitude of knowing the software. So that is an example of after a month, David came and he said, you know, what they're offering me a job? Are you serious? And so through this program, David was offered that opportunity to use the software. And now he's been with the county for, eight months so far? And Brett could probably attest to his value on their staff. So this is what we want East to be. We want East to be a bridge with the community and students and allow them to have hands-on real-life experience and for it to be meaningful learning. I'm hoping that through this experience, David has a lifelong career now. And those are some of the GIS projects. I didn't go through, and if you want to know some of the other projects that we've been working on, I can, but I know we are GIS focused kind of here today, so I was speaking on the GIS. And so, as you can see, I think we have a lot more opportunity to expand our GIS projects. I would like for you now to ask me questions about the program, or if you have any way of how I should proceed in going about in teaching the GIS software to my students. The other thing I would maybe like to know is if they are interested and get really excited about this career field, how should I career counsel them into a GIS pathway of having this as a career?
Are there any other technology centers that are moving towards the East program?
We have had interest from other technology centers, but no one has made that leap and that I'm aware of or my director is aware of that they're actually putting this program in place. Andy Capital at Salisant and the one at Claremore currently are the only ones. They have been through the this year we've been kind of evaluating, we've had other tech centers in here and they're interested, but I don't think they've gone that far as actually implementing them into other technology centers. Yes, I think.
What kind of enrollment do you have?
Enrollment, and that's the other thing, is trying to get the ETH concept for high school students to understand. I had, the classes are limited to 15 for, and the technology center is set up in an AM and PM session. I have the students for 3 hours, which is very nice because that allows us to go out and do actual field work. So I have a morning session and then I have an afternoon session. And right now I have about 26 for next year and 30 is my max. So, but I would like to see more enrollment in that. It's been a challenge to go out and try to tell people what EAST is in 5 minutes and get high school students to realize the opportunities that EAST holds for them. Yes.
That was similar to my question, was how do you recruit students or how do students join the program?
And when I walked into this position, did I realize that 80% of my job would be a marketer? I didn't think I would realize that, but I have been out to the high schools giving, actually I did not give the presentations, and this is actually very unusual for me. Usually the students do almost everything, but the students went out and gave a presentation to all of our sending high schools. We have open houses and sophomore tours. We had an open house this year. And so we tried to get people to come into the community and to see the classroom and to see the building and to see what the program is. And so that has been something that we are going to continue to work on. And Indian Capital said it took them about 3 years to really get the community to really understand what EAST is. They said, you know, sometimes their superintendent or director still took them a while until you actually come into the EAST classroom and see it in action. And it is kind of hard to understand because I went through and I was a facilitator and did all this training last summer, and then I saw it in action, and it can be really cool when you see the students are the ones being in charge and you're there just monitoring it.
For your high school students, mm-hmm. where does this fit into their public education? Do they get graded, or how is it accounted for?
Very good. They do get graded, and both adults and the high school students get graded. And what they get graded on, every project, that every group project has to have a folder, and they have to document their progress. And so they get graded on that folder. They also have a personal portfolio that they have to keep track of, and that's more specifically on what skills they are developing through the program. And then we do presentations quite a bit. They will do a presentation once a semester about the EAST philosophy and concept and how they're applying the EAST philosophy to their educational learning. They also get graded for coming to class every day in attendance and working every day. Just I kind of relate it to, and next year I'm looking at just relating more to you get paid when you come here. So if you show up, there's a daily grade for them participating, and then they have their project binders that they get graded on, and then they have an electronic portfolio that they get graded on. And we also go in and we do career and professional development skills in addition to all the EAST concepts, because one thing that when I asked my students this year, what did they learn? They learned, they almost felt like they learned more soft skills on how do you handle a client? How do you speak professionally to someone that walks into the classroom? How do you create a resume? And we delve heavily on that as well. How do you run a meeting? How do you call someone? You would be amazed when I said, call Mr. Wilson. And some of them would sit there for maybe 5 minutes and they would be scared to pick up the phone. So we even walk through that step of how do you make a professional call? How do you write a professional email? And so they get graded on how they keep track of all that in their binder they have to document. And I try to relate, documentation is something that you're going to have to do in no matter what career, and you need to get used to it. I relate it to, I have to grade them and I have to submit paperwork on them. You have to document your progress on your project. So they do get graded that way, and they do get credit after high schools. Any of the juniors or seniors that come in, they get elective credits back towards their high school. And we also have an articulation agreement with Rogers State, which is the local college there. And if they go through the EAST program, they can earn 27 college hours to the applied technology degree at Rogers State. so they can earn college credit if they go through there. And I'm also working with the communications department director at Rogers State too, and him allowing them to get some elective credit in the communications degree path as well. We also have the ability, when they're at the technology center, they can take college algebra or college algebra and get college credit for that as well. So we have some other opportunities when they're at the technology center to earn some more college credit. But East really tries to, and what I'm trying to create my program is to really help them focus and prepare them for college or any type of career after that, on getting them the skills to be successful, those time management, the project-oriented skills.
It would seem to me that you would be a good asset for the area COGS, like NCOG, on their projects. And also, I know the assessors up there are at different stages of lateness on their mapping, but in most cases, their single biggest problem is spatial accuracy.
Okay.
You could take their mapping off-site and could rubber sheet it to match the aerials or a better spatial grid.
That's the same project we had at Rogers County.
Right.
We got the rubber sheet, we just had them remap it totally. So we took the students, they learned a skill by remapping it. The county saved $250,000 by not having to farm it out. So it was a win-win situation for everyone.
And some counties in that part of the world actually don't really have a working continuous system. They've got something mapped, but they're not in any place updated. So if your students wanted to get it more into deed reading and actually doing the mapping deeds and such, stuff like that, good assets to counties like Cherokee County, for instance.
Thank you.
So the age groups this is targeted at is high school and adults, okay?
Yes. Currently right now, juniors and seniors from our senior schools can attend the EASE program, and then we have what's called a 13th year scholarship, where if you're the first year out of high school, your 13th year can be for free as well. So the tuition for the EASE program is free to any high school and 13th year student. And then after that, the adults, there is a fee to take the program, just like any other technology center program. But it is open to any age group from juniors of high school up on. And it's, yes, sir.
How does it blend with the existing curriculum that any tech center may currently have? Does it parallel some of them, or does it substitute, or how does it blend into that?
Very, very good question. To speak to that, our other campus has like a graphic design program, and it's a set program. And previously coming to the tech center, I taught in a local high school, and I was a vocational business teacher. And so some of these programs are somewhat set, but what East does differently is that they come in and they're not set to one set technology. If you walk into the prior campus, for example, and you're in the digital media pathway there, you're there and you're working on Photoshop, you're working on Illustrator. A student that walks into the East classroom, they can choose to work on a project, and that project may call for them to learn web design, video production skills, GIS skills. So what East does is that it doesn't concentrate on one set area, it concentrates on the finished product and how do you get to the finished product. So a student that walks out the East classroom, to me, could be multi-skilled and multi-talented and not focused on just one area. I have had students, though, that come in and they know they're going to be a graphic designer. That is their niche and that's what they really want to do. And what one particular student in general, he has concentrated on that he is our graphic designer, he creates our logos. And the other students start learning that you go to him if you need a logo design, which I think that's the natural progression in any business, that you end up sometimes being specialized within your business and they know, okay, they're gonna come to him for that area. And so it's really up to the student. It all goes back to the student can decide how they wanna use this technology. They could come in and just want to do 3D animation. And that's what they work on for 2 years, and they work on a project with that. Or they come in and they don't even realize GIS is out there. And that's what I'm finding is that high school students don't know. GPS to them is what you see in your car. And they have no idea that there's this GIS software and this whole career potential if you know this software. So that's what I'm excited about as an East educator, is to give them that opportunity. And no other high school or sending school around has that GIS software. Most of the other high schools, they have the Photoshop, the Illustrator, the InDesign, and they're getting that skills. But if a student wants to come and really broaden their technology skills, they could come to East and have that access to some of the software that they don't get at their sending schools. Anything else? Yes.
Something you might want to look into is the Geo Mentor program. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
It's a joint venture between National Geographic and ESRI.
Okay.
And it's not a very professional way to describe it, but it's essentially like a Craigslist for educators who are seeking GIS professionals to come in and help their students. And conversely, for GIS professionals to put themselves out there and say, I'm willing to help a classroom, and it kind of helps match people up.
Excellent. Well, we've currently, Mr. Wilson has been a great resource to us, but also because the East was founded in Arkansas, we have gone and I've taken my students to the University of Arkansas and CAST. I don't know if any of you are familiar with them, but they have been a great resource to us. And they're actually only an hour and a half from Claremore, so that's been pretty easy. And they have come out to our site and done some training. And then I have one student who signed up this summer to go and do the Geo 3D Spatial class at the University of Arkansas. That was something that's what's neat about East too, is that being a part of that initiative, we have training opportunities that I wouldn't necessarily have if I was just in the career tech system in Oklahoma. Arkansas, the East program is very innovative in offering these programs. And this class was only offered to University of Arkansas college students, but because of CAST's relationship with East, they let East students attend this workshop or class as well during the summer. So we do have that. But that, thank you for, I was not aware that there was, that was out there. And that's kind of my purpose of being here, is for me to find more resources for my students. Any other questions? Well, I would offer up an invitation, if you're ever by Claremore, to please stop by the Technology Center and see the programs that we have. The EASE program is, like I said, is the second one in the state. We have a home technology integration program, and it's actually the first one in the state. When we built this new technology center, we had to find programs that weren't already being offered at our other three technology centers. So we have those two programs in general are very unique to our system and just the whole state system itself. And then we have a nursing program and a health careers program. But please, if you're in the area, just stop by. We love to have visitors. And if you have any ideas or want to have any questions or work with us, please let me know. I can get you my card after this. So.
Yeah, we have work lined up for students next semester too. So yeah.
take a number. But thank you for letting me come today, and it was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks a lot. Down this way, because I think there's a lot of projects that we can think of to get some students involved in as well. It's a great resource. Thank you for bringing that to us. Okay, next item on the agenda has to do with last month's presentation by Sheila Wilson with the GIS Certification Institute with regard to their GISP program. Certification program, and based on the discussion that we had after that presentation, I sensed that there was a desire by the council to endorse that certification process. There were some concerns that were expressed also about, you know, how we might do that. And in that light, Shelley and I drafted up a statement, if you will, council would consider adopting or modifying, whatever, just a starting point really for discussion, and circulate that out to council members. And Jane Weber, she took it and consolidated, if you will, into a little more concise
statement, fewer words, and basically says the same thing, but and that was sent out this evening, council members. So I'd like you know, to hear what you all think about that. It's, as I said, a starting point for us, and we just want to open it up for a discussion for anyone that would like to express their thoughts about this. Is it something we need to pursue, should pursue, or whatever? So we can put it up on the screen. I'll need to move because otherwise it'll be clear. Things that I heard and concern was that certification should not be a mandatory requirement for an individual involved in GIS work as a professional. I know there's a lot of us that have learned our GIS skills and apply those through a variety of means, and being certified may not be of interest to us for a number of reasons. You may not benefit our career path, or like me, you're so old that you don't quite bother, you know.
Be retired by the time we're certified.
That's right. Yeah. But we don't want to discourage it either, because I think we want to encourage professional development in this field, and this is one of the ways that you can do that, I think. But anyway, here's the first statement that was put out along with me. I don't know, can everybody see that in the back? So at that point, just read it. I can read it if you wish. Daryl's not anything else. Yes, so let me see if I can read today. The Oklahoma State Geographic Information Council supports the efforts of GIS certification institutes for promoting good business practices through the certification program for geographic information system professionals, or GISPs. The council acknowledges that there are many GIS professionals today that have a wide variety of backgrounds that have acquired their GIS skills through many years of dedicated hard work and study. These professionals have given generously of their time and skills to advance the profession, but do not feel that certification will benefit the advancement of their career. Taking this into account, the council recognizes that GIS certification is not and should not be mandatory. However, the council also recognizes that many GIS professionals are interested in furthering their professional development through a certification program. Because of the growing number of certified GIS professionals in Oklahoma, the council supports and encourages GISCI's certification program for the professional and personal growth of GIS professionals who would like to become certified for utilizing geospatial technologies in today's workplace. Okay, that's the long-winded one. Here's Jane's version. The Oklahoma State Geographic Information Council encourages the GIS Certification Institute's certification program for those geographic information system professionals who would like to further their professional development and personal growth through a certification program. However, the council acknowledges that there are many GIS practitioners working in a variety of positions who have acquired their GIS skills through years of dedicated hard work and study, but who do not feel that certification will benefit them or advance their career. Therefore, the council believes certification should be voluntary, not mandatory. So, there you have it. There's no pride in authorship with us on this. Troy, comment?
First thing that I noticed that didn't sit well with me was the idea that anyone who chose not to go for the certification was doing it because they didn't want to advance their career. And that, for me, kind of set really wrong, because there's other ways that you can get the certification from different programs that would be just as adequate, whether it's through another university, such as OU or OSU, or through other internationally recognized organizations that may offer something. May not be exactly the same thing, but semi-parallel. One thing I did notice was this morning, I was out in Mangum and Hollis yesterday, so that's why I didn't participate in the email yesterday. But I noticed going online, looking at some other endorsements by others, such as states of New Jersey, California, Ohio, and also the National Association of Counties, their GIS committee, there was no mention that those that did not want to get the certification should be any sort of reference to them, one way or the other, let alone something to me that looked a little demeaning. Generally, the statements said, thank you for the great program, it looks good, we encourage folks to do it. And that's how the endorsements end. And with that kind of language, I really looked at Jane's example and thought that first sentence in its entirety would be a great endorsement, and just leave the other stuff lie.
Yeah, in fact, as a hypercritical college professor, after looking at Jane's work through, which was terser, that's good, it's always good. And then my thought was exactly the same, is after the first sentence, you could lose everything else that's sort of apologetic. But I would make a change in front of the first sentence there, that one sentence, in front of the word certification, which is right at the end of the first, the certification program, just put in the word voluntary, if that's the sense of the group. And then you're not pressing anybody to do anything, because the sense of the certification, it's like, you get a degree, a certification is to up the ante. It's a measure of respect from other individuals that you have been vetted in some way. And as this group, I think we want to make sure that GIS professionals can be vetted as much as possible. And in some organizations, this is true, that not going to do you any good to have any kind of certification. But in a lot of organizations, it does do you some good, continuing education-wise or whatever. So I clearly think we should be for this sort of effort. But yeah, in the present state of the way things are in Oklahoma, and we don't have it's not all her fault, because we don't have the official definitions yet and things like that. That should indeed be voluntary. And I don't think we have to make anybody feel bad. It just, this is how this industry has been. I think you find this in other states. I'm sort of agreeing with somebody for once. I'm not
agreeing from someone from OSU, so. Yeah.
I know it's hard, but we try.
Any other thoughts? So, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to adopt it with the modification number 7? Is that acceptable, or do you want to think about it a while?
I would make the motion we adopt it with the modification. Take Jane's example and then Troy's modification along with voluntary. I think that's good. I think that encourages it. It just leaves it right where it's at. I like that. So I'd make that motion. We have a motion. We need a second.
I second it.
Okay. A motion and a second that we take the second statement here and delete the last two sentences and insert the word voluntary in front of certification right here. Is there any discussion?
I like that.
Do you also want voluntary?
Wherever it goes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It should be after or in front of the last certification, not in.
Right.
Because they're running a certification. And
right there.
This is Microsoft Word. Someone could actually go in there and type that.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, anyone in technology, we could do it.
We just need to make our statement. Do we have someone from your career tech here?
I know where.
Joe, Mouse is incoming.
I know where she's in school. I saw her.
I got my group view, so if anybody has anything to say, it's like.
Yeah, no pressure, but can we have one of the East students come up?
I would be more than happy to listen to it.
I'm one of the old, you know, GI smarts.
Can I ask a question while we're on this subject?
Yes.
Should I be telling my students that they need to get a degree, and what specific degree should they be getting if they're interested in GIS?
Well, see, now that's exactly what we didn't want to happen here, is that we didn't want endorsement. You know, you had to have a degree.
Okay.
But, most practitioners are high school grads, and across the state, at least in rural Oklahoma, in the county assessor's offices, a lot of them are middle-aged or late-aged, either retirees or, I hate to use the term, but just housewives are looking for a second income. Once you get in routine of using the software repetitiously, you can become very, very good at what you're doing without really requiring extra education, just to do your job.
Right, and there are many other places where you can get different things, just like what Troy was, one of the things he was alluding to. Assessors go through IAAO, the International Association of Assessing Officers, and they have designations for mapping professionals. So no college degree required. So this is just another feather in your cap. That's why you'll see sometimes people will have their name and then comma, and they'll have like four or five things behind their name because they got those from different groups. So no, I would encourage the kids, get everything you can get.
Okay.
And that just makes it better for you when you go to apply for a job.
But if they got a four-year degree, does it need to be in any specific area, or is it just that they have that degree?
So I think the biggest thing in life anymore, now that I've been in education for so long, is to have them, if they want to go to college, to finish a good, solid college degree, because that has all sorts of English and math in it and all that kind of stuff, and that's good. But as they go through now, if they're going through a four-year degree, our institutions now offer some very good GIS as part of that. They don't have to make that a degree.
Right.
In fact, some of the things you want to know is, some companies want to have is not necessarily somebody that is just the GIS nerd, that is just a computer whiz. They want some kind of knowledge about the outside world. That's a very important thing. So it depends what the individual student would say. This is how we counsel students that are coming in with us that are interested in our GIS certificate on our campus. It's something they could fit into their degree. We don't necessarily need them to do a geography degree or not. So we have some success with that, but I would get their college education if they're applying.
Okay.
But with the GIS stuff, for certain tasks, there certainly is no reason to have a college degree to do that. Good, what the kinds of stuff you guys are doing, I think, ups the ante for everybody eventually, makes GIS better for everybody.
Right.
If the kids have had some experience down.
Look at something at the East program where they have hands-on experience, then get the degree and come back.
Oh,
I have a degree and I have work experience with the East program.
One of the funniest things you ever do is learn some kind of computing skill and then go back and get a little bit more formal education. Well, that's what I just did. But then you understand more about how to possibly apply different things, and that is valuable. But I think the essence here is to be very voluntary and to encourage it.
I think it's important to note, to address Jay's concern, that a college degree is not required to become a GISP. It does help in the education portion and the education component, but it's not required. It's also important to note, one of the things that you had mentioned yesterday, it is, you know, a well-rounded, it's a professional status. So it's not going to be someone who's just a housewife trying to do it. You have to meet the three components in order for it to be valid. in order to be a professional. And there are lots of people who don't qualify. I have a colleague who's significantly better at it than I am, who programs, but he doesn't meet all three requirements. He doesn't go out and give presentations and you know, give back to the GIS community as a whole, and so he doesn't qualify. So one of the things he's looking at is what he can do, you know, should he decide to go ahead and become a GISP, what he needs to do. But the GIS certification recognizes that it is voluntary. It's not our intent to turn this into a licensure. No licenses, we're not intending to be a part of that. There are states that require licensing, but it's not something that we're advocating, nor is it something that we are advocating that the state of Oklahoma do. But rather, just to promote it, it's a voluntary certification. It's acknowledgement by peers that you have reached a benchmark in your career, certainly not the beginning of your career or the end of your career, but a benchmark along the way.
There's a lot of paths in this field. I'm sure that no one here, anywhere in this room, followed the same path as anyone else. I mean, I came in through the IT side. I've always had a love of science, and I like being outdoors and learned how to read topographic maps when I was much younger, and everything all just kind of came together when I had the opportunity to work in here. But I mean, and then there's also the ability to use the software, which is, and then there's actually doing geography, which is what it really is. I have a neighbor that just happened to move in across the street and turned out to be a geography professor, and he is quite emphatic about how GIS is just the tool that you use to do geography, and geography is what it's really all about. So, I mean, you can come in from the geography side, getting a geography degree, or you can come in from any other field, because everyone, these days, everything is running with data and databases and whatnot, and in reality, and everything has a location. But location is just another attribute. So you can be in any field at all, practically. I mean, you can just be running a business office, but all your staff members, if they go outside your office, they have a location up there. You can use it for you know, inventorying your facilities, if you're a facilities manager for any company. And that has a GIS component. And so it's gathering all the things you want, the information about all the things you want to track, that and making sure that the locations are as accurate as you need them to be in order to get good results. So you can literally, you know, this can be like a core component of dozens and dozens of different fields, just a class in GIS, teaching people, oh, by the way, not only can you get in your office, not only are you going to have to know how to use Word and Excel, but you ought to know a little bit about this GIS thing, too. So I think that's it.
Yeah, I had a guy from the National Guard down to the general office, the main office, wanting to use GIS, just know how much grass is being mowed around the armories across the state to make sure they get a good price. So the sky's the limit.
And it all comes down to a picture is worth a thousand words. What the GIS does is allow you to draw a picture that allows you to look at it and say, oh, now I understand. Now I don't have to make my decision.
Students come away with the concept that GIS is a tool that they can use for problem solving,
yes,
and putting information together in a very concise way, visually, as well as databases and that sort of thing. You know, if they want to be a lawyer, they want to be a natural resource person, they want to drive a beer truck, they can map out their route and be efficient in doing that. I mean, so, you know, the application's in the center of data. We encourage you to promote. Okay, back on task here. We have a motion and a second to approve this statement concerning certification. Those in favor of adopting this, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Thank you. We have a formal statement on GIS certification. Okay. Next item is our GIS discussion on data issues. Does anybody have anything on any new data and everything coming out. I've had a few questions, it seems like it's been on the listserv, but it has to do with the new photography coming from USDA. Again, that, they're flying the NAEP 2010 as we speak. They should be wrapping that up probably the middle of this month, and we hope to be seeing those delivered in July, middle of July, something like that. The deliverables this year are going to be the usual 1 meter leaf on county compressed county mosaics, natural color. But they're also going to have, when they release the individual DOQs this fall, generally it's in the fall after they go through the certification process, the DOQs will be four band. They're going to have color infrared along with the natural color. So that we may available that way. And hopefully we can get our hands on those and then put them together in a mosaic again for counties that does include all four bands. So you'll have access to the color infrared that way and also through the DOQs as well. So
thanks to the Forest Service.
And we do. We want to thank the Forest Service for stepping up and providing all the funding that FSA needed to complete that project, around $100,000. So it'll be the first time in Oklahoma that we have access to that fourth band that I'm aware of. And took the state one. So
who do you think will be ready?
The natural color, the county mosaic should be ready in mid-July. Maybe end of July, something like that. They say 45 days after they finish flying. So I'm looking at that period in mid-July.
The OAs kind of vary from county to county, as I might say. They start being available on the gateway anyways, middle of or first part of July through about the first part of August, like maybe the second week of August, years ago.
So we'll just have to start watching for those pretty soon. I mean, monitoring that gateway to get those. Okay, any other data things anybody have? How about any new business? Any announcements? We just had a big stop in the field yesterday down at Walnut, Charles.
We had right at 100 people there, had some good discussion with weather, had some good discussion with the recertification kind of a topic. Really, the only thing that's coming up that I can think of in the near future is the conference this fall. So watch the website, and when you get a chance, log on and update your profile. There's a lot of neat stuff on it. God.
ISRI conference coming up in mid-July or second week of July for those who have an opportunity to go to that. Okay, next meeting, I'm thinking September, have the summer off. September the 10th is the first Friday, is just before Labor Day weekend, so I thought if folks want to have that Friday off and go somewhere, that'd be good. So September the 10th is what we're looking at right now. We'll work on getting someone here for a presentation. If that's good with everyone, entertain a motion to adjourn. Those in favor of adjourning, please say aye. Thank you. We are adjourned. Have a great summer. Thank you.